This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Back here on a Thursday, the Joint Crisis Communication Team shared the news of passing of two Macon County residents yesterday with COVID-19. One resident was a male in his 50s. The other resident was a female in her 90s. The Joint CCT reporting 132 newly confirmed cases. That brings our total, and the total really, 5,603, you look at the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it doesn't matter what has happened since March as far as that number is concerned, but it is a big number heading up towards 6,000. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf joins us. A male in his 50s, a female in her 90s, there's 40 years of life between those two people, and yet I still think people, because of not having a name or a face to put with some of these cases, still goes, that lady was really old. But what do they say to that man who was in his 50s? I mean, between that man and her, there's 40 years of life to be had.
Well, and Brian, I think people are tending to say kind of as a, and I don't know if it's a defense mechanism, and we still don't know, but when we lose somebody who is younger in their 50s, I bet they had a different health problem. Well, that's not necessarily true. We are seeing more and more younger people. When I say younger, I'm talking, under 60, who didn't have other health issues. Now, you are going to have people who have cancer and they get this, or they have a chronic, they've got something else really wrong with them, a very serious chronic condition that's not being dealt with. And catching COVID is pretty much a death sentence for many of them. But we are seeing more and more people. Just because they're young doesn't mean there was anything else wrong with them when they get COVID and die. And some of these deaths are very, very fast.
This week, we've lost a person in their 30s here in Macon County. I I think maybe I'm to blame for some of this, but the concentration of just living and dying, and we talked to Drew early about this yesterday, the in-betweens. There are people who are dealing with a lot of long-term health issues coming outside. It's not like just catching this, having the flu, and a week later you're okay. There are a number of people who are dealing with the aftermath and the effects of this long-term.
Yeah, and we still don't know very much, Brian. We just, COVID has been a learning experience for everybody involved, from scientists to doctors to nurses. Our ability to keep people alive through this has improved dramatically from what the initial way of helping people was. It was, you went on a ventilator, and we were all very concerned that there were enough ventilators available in the United States. And now with remdesivir, I always screw that up, but they're seeing a lot more promise with that. And so there are other treatments. And so we're doing a really good job in keeping people alive, but we don't know all of the long-term implications of this. We just don't.
I was looking at a model in Arizona this morning where the governor of Arizona, who is Republican by the name of Doug Ducey, he resisted taking aggressive action at the very beginning. But in late June, he closed bars, movie theaters, gyms, banned gatherings of 50 or more people. And if you watch the spike and then it go all the way down, and then as soon as they reopen those establishments, right back up again. I mean, there is plenty of anecdotal information out there to show you that the longer people spend with other people indoors in bigger crowds, not wearing masks, that's how the regular flu is transmitted. It's how colds and viruses. This virus, this isn't rocket science. You get inside an indoor space, particularly limited indoor space. You share air. You don't wear masks. This spreads.
And let's look at where we were last spring. In March and April, we were all very, very scared, and everyone took this very, very seriously. Illinois went into almost an immediate shutdown, which kept people in their own family bubbles. And, we had some very serious outbreaks in nursing homes where it spread throughout the facility really fast. But, we were also coming up on spring. So we had more opportunity to open the windows. And when we finally got some freedom back and a lot of the restrictions were lifted, we were outside. Now it is the opposite. As this starts to spike again, and Dr. Fauci said last spring, it will come back in the fall. It will come back in a vengeance. I'm not sure it ever really went away. But since more of us as Americans were outdoors and away from each other, we had a better chance. Now, as we are all indoors and sticking together, it's a different story.
Yeah, Dr. Fauci also predicted a quarter of a million deaths by this time, and was exactly right on that account as well. The state of Illinois releasing their numbers showing the rural deaths in the state of Illinois and rural deaths in the United States of America versus that of, like, urban areas, much, much higher. Do you credit that to fewer hospital resources, more red counties, people not following the rules? What do you make of that?
I think we had a false sense of security, especially in our rural areas, because if you get into smaller communities, everybody knows each other. A lot of people are related. So you really don't think that you're going to get it by going to church and singing. You don't think about it in the coffee shop and the diner because you know these people. It's not like Chicago where everybody's a stranger. These are people you grew up with, people your sister married. I mean, so it's kind of like a big, giant family. And so I don't know that it is an issue of resources. I think it is more an issue of not necessarily fighting the rules, but really thinking the rules don't apply because of who we are. We know each other. We are not, you know, walking around with diseases. And it's such a – this virus is invisible. And it goes into our rural communities and our small communities, and it gets into our family settings. It gets into our churches. It's why we see spikes after wedding receptions. People are comfortable with each other. We all know each other, or it's a friend of a friend of a friend, and so we're fine. So we're going to sing. We're going to dance. We're going to have a few drinks, and it's not fine.
At the beginning of this, if you go back to March and April, everyone here locally, or a lot of people, it wasn't everyone, but a number of people saying, well, this is all Chicago. It's all Chicago. And if you look at the death rates back in April, that was accurate. I mean, the vast majority of deaths were coming out of Cook County. If you look at November 14th, which was the last day used in this chart, it is absolutely flip-flopped. And this is per capita. I mean, this is even. We're not comparing apples and oranges. COVID-19 7-day death rate per 100,000 population, metro versus non-metro, it has completely flipped from what it was back in April.
And realistically, in Chicago, they have taken more stringent steps all along than we have downstate. You know, not everybody agrees with the Chicago mayor. There are mayors that are fighting with each other in the Chicago suburbs about, you know, well, if my suburb shuts down and yours is open, you know, for bar and restaurant, et cetera, you know, it doesn't do anybody any good. And many fighting the governor on a lot of these restrictions. But they were quicker to impose stronger restrictions. And you think about the lifestyle up there. A lot of those people are commuters. They get on a commuter train and go into the city. They live in apartment buildings. They are on elevators together. You know, the elevators I've been on in Decatur, it's two people per elevator and it asks you to socially distance. So I don't know if that's what's happening in the Chicago area or not, or what they have done. But there's also, I really think, a different mindset. And we feel immune to a lot of, you know, we always consider ourselves, you know, we're south of I-80, so we don't get everything Chicago gets. We also think we're not going to get this virus like Chicago gets it. So it causes our behavior to not be as careful.
Yeah, I want to go to Springfield, you know, for a second. Sangamon County, their Department of Public Health released contact tracing data on the same day that their local enforcement began over there, aimed at bars and restaurants, and they released the data showing people who tested positive for COVID-19, their close contacts, and where they had been the 2 weeks prior to the positive test, and restaurants and bars were at the very top of the list. Every bit of this data that is being released, and you got to be careful, Mayor, because I've seen other people who are pro keeping these restaurants open on the inside. They're looking at data from March, and they're not telling you that for a good chunk of that, 3 months of that, they weren't allowed to have indoor dining. So they're using like a 6, 7, 8 month statistic instead of looking at the last 12 weeks. And if you look at the last 12 weeks, every single bit of evidence that has been published or released shows restaurants and bars at the very top of the list.
And I've been asked for that same data, and our health department doesn't have the same program yet. They're hoping that I don't know if it's a software or what, will be able to give us that information for Macon County. Sangamon County has it. Many of the Chicago area suburbs have it. It's coming, hopefully, in the near future. But I don't have that data at my fingertips to be able to say unequivocally to our local residents, this is where it's spreading from. But if you look at the data statewide, it's consistent. And, you know, bars and restaurants, big gatherings of people indoors and things, wedding receptions, large funeral gatherings where they're not taking precautions. You know, it's just, it's hard because everybody wants, you know, I had a woman who left me a voicemail this week saying, well, I don't know where you get your information because I looked at the CDC and they don't have anything that masks actually work. And in about 10 seconds, I was able to pull up a bunch of articles on the CDC website. I don't know what CDC site she was on, but she's wrong.
Well, but she's not. She's sharing somebody's social media feed, which is, you know, shared something from March or something. But that's what people do. Springfield is 26 minutes away from us. I guarantee you what we're doing in our lives is not all that different than 26 minutes away.
And if you think that people from Decatur don't go to Springfield to go to restaurants or work or other places, that's one of the things, you know, it's frustrating that we're not all on the same page. And I think that is one of the reasons the governor went straight to Tier 3 for everybody in the state of Illinois. Because, you know, when you have even different regions, I mean, we're right next door to Springfield. We were in, you know, different regions where they're counting things differently. But we're all in this together. We've got to be in this together. We've got to take this seriously. And I think we are in for a really, really scary couple of months.
Mayor, be prepared tomorrow to talk about your Thanksgiving menu, and I want to know whether you cook or not, because I have no idea. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Please stay safe, stay strong. You're doing an outstanding job, and it is a thankless job.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.